Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs 17:17. That proverb says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, there we go. A good two-part parable, and we'll cover the whole thing today. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay, well, the test of true friendship then is, do you love at all times? That's the test of a true friend. Do you love at all times? What would it take to destroy your friendship with one of your friends? I mean, because if you look back over your life, if you lived any length of time, you've had friends that you really thought you would have for life, and they're not your friends today. Something happened. Something changed. Something went awry. And you're not sure what it is. Or maybe you are sure what it is. But nonetheless, they're not the kind of friend now that they were back then. What was it that destroyed your friendship? A lot of times, what destroys friendships depends upon what the friendship is based. In other words, a lot of times friendships are formed because they are mutually beneficial. In other words, both parties are getting something out of the friendship that they wanted. And then what happens is that at some point in time in the future, the friendship is no longer mutually beneficial. In other words, one friend is still getting something out of the friendship, but the other friend is not getting what he or she expected. And when one party is no longer getting out of the friendship what he or she expected, then the friendship's going to die. It's going to end. I have a feeling that that's the cause of a lot of divorce right there. I mean, they say kids, they say lust, they say money. And I think those are all symptomatic of it, but I think what happens is the relationship is no longer mutually beneficial. They're not each getting out of it according to what they're putting into it, or each is not getting out of it what they expected. The expectations change. Now, what we've got to do as Christians is we've got to evaluate our own friendships, and we've got to evaluate ourselves as friends, more importantly, because you really can't control the other person. You can only control yourself. Do you love at all times? And then you ask yourself the question, what would it take to destroy this friendship? Now, Jesus extended friendship, and truthfully, when he did, he expected nothing in return. I mean, he demanded a lot of his disciples, but that wasn't the basis of their friendship. I mean, Jesus Christ loved us, and we love him because he first loved us. We responded to his friendship. We responded to his love. But he didn't extend that love in order to bait us in and then start giving us more love later. I mean, in other words, the point is, all of what Jesus Christ is willing to give, he's willing to give to anybody. And as a result, he's gained many a friend because of that offer. I mean, even when Judas Iscariot came to betray him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 50, called him friend. And he knew what he had done. He knew that Satan had filled him. He knew that he'd gone out to betray him to the Pharisees. He knew it long before it ever happened. He said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a betrayer, or one of you is a traitor? He said, I know what's going on here. And when it happened, he said, that thou doest do quickly. Off he went. And when he came back with those soldiers, he knew he'd turned him in. He knew what the deal was. Judas kissed him, and he called him friend. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is that kind of a friend. He's the kind of friend that maintains the friendship, and if somebody else falls away from that friendship, then that's their doing, but not Jesus. Jonathan David had that kind of friendship. A love, the Bible says, that surpassed the love of women. And some people have tried to make that out like some sort of a nasty thing. It's not a nasty thing at all. There are a lot of men that love women that they're not married to, like their mother, like their sister, That's a love that a man has for a woman, and it's a non-sexual thing. People get that thing when they talk about the friendship of David and Jonathan. They're trying to justify sin when they go off into the perverted things they've called that friendship. That thing was nothing more than what the Bible says. It was a friendship. And their love exceeded the love that they would have for women. There was a camaraderie there between those two men that was more than a man would have for a woman that he loved. Not necessarily his wife. Just a great friendship. Now, a true friend, according to this text, will love how often? The Bible says he'll love at all times, and he'll love under all circumstances. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. At all times. And he will under all circumstances. Listen, you may have five or even less than five of these kinds of friends in a lifetime. It's tragedy that you can't have more. But then again, maybe you don't need more. You could probably count these kinds of friends on one hand. Now just think about people in the Bible that have gone through times when they really needed a friend. Job sure could have used some good friends when he was afflicted. I mean, those guys that came to see him were his friends, but they were so taken by the tragedy of what they saw, and they were so taken by, you know, Job's self-righteousness and the other things that were going on and their knowledge of God, they said, there's no way that any of this stuff could have happened to you unless you were a really bad cat. You've just been pretending. And he didn't need that right then. He was already struggling himself with what was going on between him and God. He needed friends. And in trying to console him, these guys condemned him. A true friend will love at all times and under all circumstances. Jesus sure could have used some good friends when he was arrested. He quoted from the Bible, he said, now guys, when I get arrested, this is how it's going to go. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. You guys are going to leave me. And, you know, they said, man, we're not going to leave you. We'd die with you. Well, not only did they leave him, the one who said that denied him, you know. You don't know what you're going to do under certain circumstances. We don't know ourselves well enough to find out, you know, what kind of friend we're going to be when we're really needed. We hope we know. We ought to think about it. We ought to pray about it. We ought to be prepared because things aren't always going to be the way they are today. Will you be a friend that loves at all times? Jesus could have used some friends when he was arrested. Paul could have used some friends when he was arrested. He said when he had to stand in his own defense after he'd been taken up there to trial, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. He was all alone. He said, now the Lord stood with me, but no man did. And he sure could have used a friend right then. And he had one in Luke when he was dying, you know, and he was up there late in his ministry. He said, only Luke is with me. He had a friend. He was a physician. What a thing. I mean, what a great thing, actually, to have a friend like that stay with you that way. It's a good thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had each other. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Those three men could help each other stand when old Nebuchadnezzar told them to bow. One man said, I'm not going to bow. Then the other guy said, well, if you're not going to bow, I'm not going to bow. The other guy said, if you two guys aren't going to bow, I'm sure not going to bow. And the three of them together were stronger than any of them individually, undoubtedly. Their friendship, their willingness to stand together took them through that hard time, made them famous. They went into the fire and they didn't get burned. Made them famous. Now, look, that is what you need. That's what I need. We need friends. You say, well, I've got a friend in Jesus, and so do I. What a friend we have in Jesus. We sing the song. But let me tell you something. Your friendship with Jesus Christ is something that you'll need all the way until you die, and there are times in your life when you are going to be abandoned, and you are going to be left to where you and Jesus Christ are going to grow very, very close together. You'll go through circumstances in life like that. But I'm going to tell you something. You will need Christian friends even in times like that to help you through those situations. You're going to need good friends. And a good friend is a friend that ought to love at all times. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a friend right now that really needs you? I mean, can you think of anybody that you know that really, really is going through a hard time? Somebody that you've been a friend with or acquainted with, and they're going through a really tough time right now, and they really, really need a friend. Do you know anybody like that? Not necessarily that you would be that friend they need. It's just that you know they need a friend. All right, now that you have identified at least one person in your life that really needs a friend right now, Have you been the kind of friend to him, or have you been the kind of friend to her that you would hope he or she would be to you? That's a sobering thought. You know, that's that second command, and really our command is higher than that. The second command, love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. But, you know, we're to love our neighbor as God loved us. Have you been the kind of friend they need? Did they hit a bump in the road and then you conveniently eased out of the picture when they really needed you? I mean, a lot of times people are friends, but then something bad happens and somebody else says, well, if I continue to be a friend with him, or if I continue to be a friend with her, then people are going to think that I condone what he or she is going through. Have you ever distanced yourself from somebody because you didn't want a little egg on your face? It happens all the time. Say, well, I didn't have any idea that that person was like that. Man, I'm going to get away from them. You know, and then you'll go to the Bible and you'll find where Paul said that, you know, you need to get away from some folks. And I understand those verses, and there are times like that. But a lot of times what happens is a person gets a bump in the road, they truly repent, and now what they need is a friend. They are burdened with overmuch sorrow. They have straightened out the problem that they had in their life, and what they need is somebody to really help them, really pray for them, and not be ashamed to be seen with them at a supper table in a restaurant trying to give them a little consolation. And a lot of times what happens is people will conveniently ease out of the picture just at the time when the friend, it really, really needs you. Now, I'll tell you, the ministry has not been a bed of roses, okay? It's been great, and I love everything that I'm doing, and so thankful to the Lord to have had this opportunity, I guarantee you. But it's not always a bed of roses. There are hard things in the ministry, personally. And there are some friends of mine that literally came to my rescue when I needed a friend. And I mean to tell you, they smelled it out. They knew at that moment, more than at any other time in my life, I needed a friend. And I'll never forget those men. I can name them to you by name. I'm not going to. But I'm thinking of one, and he lives north and west of here. And I think another one that lives north of here. And another one that lives north of here. And another one that lives real close and north of here. And another one that lives way out east of here. And I'm telling you, man, I was hurting. And God made himself real to me. And those friends of mine came and called and prayed and wrote and concerned themselves with me. And I will never, ever forget it. I appreciate them. My dad had good friends, and I can remember an instance in my dad's life where he needed a friend in the worst sort of way, really needed a friend. And this fella knew that there was going to come a time in my father's life where he was going to need a friend like that, and he always stayed real close to my father and always protected their friendship. And man, when my father needed that help, that fella was there, and he was there with my dad all the way through, man. All the way up until my father died. What a friend. I'm telling you, man, those kind of people, you'll never forget because they're real friends. Nothing, nothing, nothing can sidetrack them. Nothing can cause them to ease out of the picture. They'll stand through thick and thin. Right now, I've got a friend of mine that desperately needs a friend. I mean, he boo-booed in the ministry. And he's sorry for what he's done. He knows he's acknowledged what he's done. He's not going to pull that stunt anymore, and he's taking care of the matter. But I'm telling you, it cost him. And I'm going to be a friend to him. I've called him, prayed for him abundantly, going to continue to visit with him. Why? He needs a friend. You say, yeah, but he did something wrong. Yeah, but he's also asked the Lord to forgive him and get over that thing. And right now, he had a whole lot of friends, and right now he doesn't have so many friends. But I remember what it was like. And I remember how good it felt to have a friend. So I'll be there for him. And that's not to put a feather in my cap or to blow my own horn. It's just that I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to be on the receiving end because I know now what it means to have somebody on the giving end. We've got to be there for one another. And the Lord has to use the friendship to help in the circumstances. I mean, you know how the Lord uses people in your life. You say, well, for instance, like people say the Lord will pay your bills if you take care of him and all that kind of stuff. And that's true. But the Bible says in Luke 6:38, as an example, this is off the subject, but it's an example. The Bible says, given it should be given unto you. You know that verse. But watch what it says. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men, M-E-N, give into your bosom. God uses men to get it back to you. And God's going to use friends to console people. You need to be there for them. Listen, you'll never know how much you're going to need friends until you find out how much you need friends. You're just not going to know. I mean, in other words, until you've been there where you've got to have a friend, you don't know what it's like. You may say, oh, yeah, I can get by without that. I just pray. I just read my Bible and everything will be fine. Well, if it ever happens to you, and I pray that it doesn't, but if it ever happens to you and you really fall flat on your face and you need somebody to be there, then you'll understand how much you need friends. So, if you can take it on faith, be a friend that loves at all times. Just go ahead and imagine what it would be like in a case where you don't think you had a friend in the world, and then go ahead and be a friend to that person. Be a friend that loves at all times. Go to that one that needs you now and be there for them. And let them know that you're there for them. I mean, right now, I'd ask you to think a minute ago about some friend that you have that really needs you right now and you've kind of been reluctant to help out. Go to that person. Let them know, listen, I am going to be there for you. I'm praying for you. And when you tell them that you're praying for them, pray for them. Do it. Be diligent about it. Stay on it. Pray for them. And be kind to them. I mean, they need kindness. Maybe if it's a woman, maybe that she needs flowers. You know, if it's a guy, maybe he needs a good mess of fish. Maybe you need to take him fishing. Extend a kindness to him. Be there for personal support. I mean, where they know that they can call upon you at any moment and get whatever help and assistance they need. Give them a phone call. Email them. Write them a note. You know, I was very fortunate in having a good example in my father's friend. I've also been very fortunate because from time to time I hear people say things about what my mother has done for them when they've been in the hospital or when they've, you know, had a death in the family or something like that. My mother's been a friend to her friends so many times. And people will tell me that, and I'm honored, you know. I'm thrilled. I think it's a wonderful thing. And it's really a sweet thing. Well, I've got good examples, and I need to follow those examples from the Bible, from my parents, from people that I've seen in life that have been a help to me. Be that friend. Be a real friend that honestly you can say, I will love you at all times. Now, you know, honestly, if people came into marriages with that type of attitude, the marriages wouldn't break. I'll be a friend that loves you at all times. You know, they make that vow. Well, don't be that way. If you cannot honestly tell a friend that you're going to be his friend through thick and thin, then don't tell him. Don't even pretend. Don't even just be the other kind of friend that's there, you know, the fair weather friend. Just be that kind. But if you can really be a friend that'll go through the tough times as well as the good, then be that kind of friend and let them know you're there for them. That's a great comfort to them. Now, the rest of this parable goes on to say, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, when you read that, I've taken it that brother that's there for adversity is like over time your friends, your best friends become your friends, and your brothers are, you know, there for adversity. They create more problems for you than they do help you in the friendship, see? You can see brothers like Cain and Abel, where Cain was an adversary to Abel, or Jacob and Esau, where Esau was an adversary to Jacob after Jacob, you know, stole the blessing and finagled him out of the birthright. But Esau just gave that up anyway. But you know something? It doesn't have to be that the brother is born for adversity. That is, he's going to give you a hard time. There's going to be sibling rivalry and all that. That can also, and I've seen it, be a situation where your brother is born for adversity. That is, when you go through adverse times, if anybody's going to be there, your brother will be. You see, it's not that he's there to be your enemy. He's there to be even better than a friend. He's there in the adverse times when things really get tough. You can count on your brother. And I've got some brothers that I know that are just like that. One set of brothers I know like that is a fellow's named Joshua and Caleb. And boy, you talk about being there for each other. I mean, wow. They need friends right now. And I mean, they are best friends to each other. And they are carrying each other through the tough time they're going through right now. I know some other ones, and they're dead now. But I know these guys, and I'm telling you, they had a kind of a friendship there. Rocky and Lauren were their names. And Lauren had some, I never did find out what it was. I didn't inquire. I didn't want to know. But Lauren had something that happened to him late in life that caused him to spend 5 years in prison. I don't know what it was. And I didn't ask Rocky. I didn't ask Lauren. I talked to both of them. They never one of us told me what it was. It just he had to spend 5 years in prison. And, you know, every weekend, every single Saturday of every one of those 5 years, every Saturday of every week, of every month, of every year, of all 5 years, Rocky went on visitation to see his brother Lauren. He was there in adversity. A brother is born for adversity. He ought to be able to carry you through those tough times because he knows you better than anybody else and he has a vested interest in you, your siblings. There's a family there, and it ought to be that way. Now, taking from these examples of natural-born brothers who helped each other when they were really going through adversity, we're Christians. We're Christians, and we're brothers in Christ. And therefore, as brothers in Christ, we should be there in times of adversity for each other. We have a kinship. We have something at stake. We're in the family of God. And because we're Christians and we're like brothers, our love should excel in the category of a friend that loveth at all times. It ought to excel better than any that you could possibly think of. Now, as much a friend as you would want to be to somebody else, and as much as you would want them to be a friend to you, none of those friendships can replace the friendship that we have with Jesus Christ. The best friend that you can ever have in life is Jesus Christ. And he is there if you will receive him. If you're not saved, he's there if you have received him because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake. Trouble is you can't touch him. You can't see him. You can't feel him in the same way that you can with a friend who's talking to you on the telephone or talking to you there in your living room with the feet propped up on the sofa or, you know, that kind of thing. If it's a husband and wife holding each other through a tough time. But he's there, and he's the best friend you could ever have. You know, I've visited with some folks over the years being in the ministry, and I've known some friends that have gone through some terrible situations, like divorce. I have had a couple of women come to me and just saddened over divorce, something that should have never happened. Just a tragic thing with children involved, young children and everything. And they came to me, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. You're saved now. They were recently saved, but you know, before this all happened, which is even more of a tragedy. And I said, you're saved now. And I said, there is a man. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Pilate said, behold, the man. There's a man. There's a man, and he's real, and he's affectionate, and he loves you, and he's already proved his love for you, that'll love you better than any man on this earth. His name is Jesus Christ. And I told him this. I said, I want you to fall in love with him. Now, I asked them to do something that may have been harder for me to do than it was for them. I don't know. Hadn't been where they are under those circumstances. So I said to them, I said, fall in love with him. He's a man that'll love you. And you know something they did? And of course, we've been praying that God would bring them a spouse. Because it's nice to have a companion to help you raise your children and to have your affection and somebody for you to love and so forth. But I'm telling you, they did. They fell in love with Jesus Christ, and it showed me, as much as I've ever seen before in any other situation, that he's real. I knew it, but I mean, they experienced it, and I saw it in them. He's real, and he carried them through, and he is a friend of theirs. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and he did just that. So what did I tell you that for? I told you that for this. You may have just accidentally bumped into this radio broadcast today, not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, because all you've ever known about him is that he was dead on a cross and that he gave you a guilt trip because you had to go tell him your sins all the time and you never really had any relief because there wasn't any friendship, there wasn't any fellowship there, there wasn't any way for you to have any contact with him. I'm telling you, you can have all of those things. You say, I'd like that. Well, I'm glad you do, because that's what encouraged me to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I realized he could be a friend of mine and not just up there and be an ogre always making me feel bad about things that I'd done wrong. and a threat to me that if you don't, I'm going to tell Jesus and he's going to hurt you. I realized that he could be a friend, and he is a friend, and he has been a friend all this time. Well, you've been listening to this. I pray if you've never met Jesus Christ personally, you've never trusted him as your Savior, you know what my prayer is? You'll recognize that there's no other friend like Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He laid down his life for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. F-R-I-E-N-D-S. He laid his life down for you. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. That's what he did for you. And he wants to have fellowship with you. And he wants to love you. And he wants you to love him. And he wants you to love his words. And he wants to help you. He wants to be there for you. He wants to guide you. He wants to all those things. My question to you is, are you going to receive him? You'll never meet another friend like him. And if you will, then do that the best way you know how. You say, what is that? If you don't know how and you want to know, you can check our website. I'm going to give you the address here in a minute. There's a button there you can click under info called Eternal Life, tell you all about how to be saved. Maybe you'd rather talk to somebody personally. Call us. Speak to us. We'd be glad to talk to you about how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need a friend. Why don't you try him? Everybody else has left you down in the earth. Try him. I guarantee you it'll work. And then this, if you're already saved, you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know what? Be a friend indeed to a friend in need. A little cliche, but it's true. And if you don't have any friends and you want one, then remember what the Bible says. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Extend a little favor there. Get some friendships going. You're going to need them in time. And recognize that not all friendships are mutually beneficial. Sometimes you're going to be big time on the giving end and not much on the receiving end. But if it's a true friendship, you'll do it because you love your friend. I've got friends like that, and I thank God for them. And that didn't happen because of who I am. It happened because that's the kind of friends they are. And I thank God, and I will thank God till I die. I'll thank him in eternity for those friends. Be that kind of friend. You're needed. And I'll tell you what, you'll find a great reward in being that kind of friend. There's something personally satisfying to it that's unlike anything else you can experience in life. Be a friend. A friend that loveth at all times.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.